Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. If you're here today and you're glad you're saved, say amen this morning. I expected to hear a couple more amens during the song, but you know, I know that it's kind of solemn a little bit today. Memorial Day is just around the corner, and again, we do think of those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. And Memorial Day itself, I don't know how many of you have studied its history, but just it is a day that I believe our culture has made it a big three-day weekend to celebrate and to go do things that would not necessarily honor those that gave their lives and for our country. I know that many of them would not be for the things that go on in our White House and the things that are publicized and made public and turn our stomach on a daily basis with the woke and transgender crowd. I will just quickly say, you know, I am sad to see our governor get into the race. Not because I don't want him to be president. We just don't want to lose him as governor. And so you pray. You know, there's a long way to go in this thing. And but, you know, and you say, well, I don't think you ought to bring up politics. Well, they affect every one of our lives, folks. And for your preacher to get up and say, pray about who's going to take the White House. Amen. I definitely know that as we look forward in the memorials that we've looked at in the past, we've seen some things. And again, Memorial Day is a day that began, let me just tell you how it started. Right after the Civil War, many of the young men that fought in our Civil War were laid to rest very close to the battlefields. And they made lots of graveyards because of how many. We lost more men in that battle than we had ever lost before, and right here on our own, right here on our own soil. And no matter what side you were on, a lot of those families would have to travel miles and miles to get to the grave of their loved one because the battle wasn't always right out their back door, but it was either in the north or the south somewhere where they laid them to rest. And so they began in the late time of May. Really, the first time they did it was in New York City, New York area, and Waterloo. But then it progressed across the country as people heard about it. But then became in late May where they would have a day called Decoration Day. And Decoration Day was not a day to celebrate or to take Monday off or to have a holiday. But it was a day that was set aside so that they could go and decorate the graves of those that had paid the ultimate sacrifice and remember them. It was a day for them to go and decorate the graves with flowers and just after the spring, once they had sprung up, and to plant flowers near the graves of those that had fought and died for our country, for their freedom. And so, and I hate to say that, but, you know, it really was. Many of you may not like what I'm about to say, but the Civil War was over states' rights. And true freedom of our country died when they lost that battle. And they, again, many people have made, and just like we have woke history in our day and age, many people have made the battle that was fought in our states over so many different things. And I do agree, they would have been wise to make several other choices before they began the battle. But believe it or not, it was over whether the federal government had the right to tell the states what to do or whether the states had their right. Because, again, the Constitution holds the state as supreme and shackles our federal government and gives them very little power over the states and what they do. And we see, really, a lot of things that you have seen go on with our Supreme Court is not the Supreme Court being conservative, but being constitutional and them giving the choice and the rights back to the states to make decisions on things that should be determined in the state, not in federal court. We've had some rogue judges who went to, I want you to just understand this, because many of you may not understand the situation. A lot of the decisions that were made that are being overturned were not decided by our Constitution, but constitutions of other countries, and off of no precedent whatsoever, and other than the opinion of the court. And the court is supposed to form its opinion according to our Constitution. Amen, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. The message this morning will be simply this. I want to give a title to it, Making the Lord Your Memorial. making the Lord your memorial. It'll come right out of the scripture and you'll see it today, but I want to be in two places. I feel like we need to read some of the scripture today. And so the main part of the message will come from Hosea chapter number 12 and verse 2 through 6. And then if you have time while I'm kind of laying the foundation here, you can also put something in your Bible in Genesis 32. Genesis 32 as well. We'll turn there and read some scripture this morning. In Hosea chapter number 12, we'll find that Hosea is an Old Testament prophet. He is simply getting up and saying what God tells him to say. He's God's man, and he's just proclaiming some judgments on different parts of his country, of Israel. He uses, typically, he's going to use in verse 1, what we're not going to read, Ephraim. He's speaking to one of the tribes of Israel, or Jacob. He's going to speak specifically to Judah, and then he's going to term and speak about Jacob. And Jacob was the name. All right, let me say this. God had chosen a brand new name for Jacob and given him the name Israel because he wanted him to act like the sons of God, or act like they live for God, or act like they were following God. But oftentimes when Israel was not acting like Israel, God would use the term Jacob. Because Jacob, if you remember back to who he was before he had a life-altering, life-limping situation with God, he wasn't Israel. He was a liar and a cheat. He stole his brother's birthright from his father, and I mean, he just wasn't somebody that you would say was honorable. But you know, God has the ability to take any man who has any kind of past, and when you have you have what I would call here, Jacob has an altercation with God. What do you mean? You say altercation? He wrestles with him. You know, when I grew up, they used to let boys wrestle. It was a good thing. It was part of becoming a man. Now if you lay a hand on somebody, all of a sudden they're ready to take you to court. I don't know what happened to, you know, I've been on the playground enough. Sometimes they ask for it. You say something about my mama and friend, you ask for it. And you're fixing to get it. I've told the story before, but right down here, I had to teach that. You know, there was a time period where everybody would say, they'd say your mama. Now, that didn't sit well with me. Well, there's a boy that came to the college with me that had that bad habit. And he'd say, your mama, about everything, anything he wanted to say back to you. And he said that to me one day. And I said, I'm going to give you that one, friend. But if you ever say anything about my mama again, you'll do one of two things. You'll call my mama and apologize to her, or I will take you and beat the breath out of you outside to teach you that you don't talk about my mama. You said, I don't think a preacher was supposed to be a brawler. I was still in school. Amen. So he slipped up again the same day, of all things. Said that. And I said, now come on outside with me, just as calm as I could be. What are we going to do out there? I said, you know what we're going to do out there. He said, well, go ahead and get your mom on the phone. And I did. Now my mom did not, I got on. After he goes, Mrs. Parsons, I am so sorry. She said, for what? She said, I'm just sorry. I took the phone from him and I said, hey mom. She goes, you were going to beat that boy up, weren't you? I said, you know it. Hey, folks, you know there are some things worth fighting for. And we don't often think about it, but you know, when we come to Memorial Day, we realize that there are some things worth dying for. And when we start to think about, just as a country, and bleeding red, white, and blue, and what that means to each and every one of us that love our country and our flag, our freedoms, when we, as a Christian, it only heightens and deepens our commitment, not only to country, but to our God. It helps us to realize, if I'm willing to give myself and my all to country, to this land, and to the ideals laid forth in our Constitution, then how much more should I be willing to lay my life down for the Word of God that's penned down in this book? How much more should I be willing to go beyond and to give everything for the cause of Christ? We often miss that heightening of our patriotism in Christianity. Today, I want to preach that message, Making the Lord Your Memorial. Let's pray together right now before we preach. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your people now. I pray that, God, you would use me as your messenger boy. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Guide and direct my words. I pray if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, I ask it, amen. In Hosea chapter number 12 and verse number 2, it says, "The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually." Now, if you will with me, turn back to Genesis 32, and it's just going to recount when God says of Jacob that he prevailed against the angel and that he wept and had supplication. I want to read the story where all that happened in Genesis 32, if you would, we'll begin reading in verse 24. "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'Why is thy, what is thy name?' And Jacob said, he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou that dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." We see in Genesis chapter 32, and this should be a familiar story to most Christians here, that Jacob, in the book of Genesis, has gone and he is returning back, and God, he meets a man whom we believe is Jesus Christ. He wrestles with that man all night. And just let me say that Jesus could have won the battle, but for just like many of you, he didn't want to beat Jacob down. He wanted to preserve Jacob's life. He wasn't there to belittle Jacob. He was there to bless Jacob. Do you know so many times when God begins to convict and shows up in our lives, the Lord Jesus begins to wrestle with every man? At the beginning, we think we're in a battle, but really what God wants to do is touch us and change us. He wants to make us a brand new person that maybe doesn't walk like we used to, but we walk in accordance to the will of God. So many times in our lives, when we think about making something a memorial is something that is, in definition, it's a preservation of a memory. Do you see, even in the life of Jacob, there is no statue that is lifted up. There is no day set aside, but every day from that day till the day that Jacob was put in the ground, he halted upon his thigh, according to the scripture. Even when he blesses all his grandchildren and is there with Joseph, and he's doling out all to his children and his grandchildren, all the blessings and some curses, he has still got a cane and still halting on his thigh because of his altercation with God. Do you know, for us, when we meet God for the first time, I'm going to be honest with you, I knew many things about God, but God didn't. He didn't come into my heart and life on the very first day that I heard about Jesus. There was a time period in my life where I wrestled with whether Jesus was the Christ and whether he paid it all, whether he was God's son. I wrestled with the fact of all the truths of the Word of God, but there was a day as I wrestled that I wouldn't let go of him. As I wrestled over and over again, but I wasn't ready to turn it loose and to say, this is not the truth. Do you know there are so many people that have heard the true and good Word of God, and instead of hanging on and wrestling, they look for truth in another place. The world, colleges, they've thrown out the idea that God could have created everything on planet Earth. And instead, they set up a memorial on a book that a man wrote instead of 40 penmen over 1,600 years that never one time contradicts itself. They would follow a man's book that consistently contradicts itself and come up with a theory of how man came to be. They built their memorials to it. Do you know that you would think that there are many churches, but you know there's almost as many museums with fake bones in it of things that came from the past as there are church buildings with steeples? There are as many church buildings and science labs across the country trying to prove out the theory of evolution and build a memorial to that as there are people preaching about the name of Jesus Christ today. And we think we're the ones that are fundamental, that we're zealots, that we're the ones that are sticking our heads in the sand. That's what they like to say of us. They like to say religion is a crutch. Let me say to the crowd that lives out there that makes evolution their memorial, evolution is your crutch. You're scared of what's going to happen one day when you face God face to face, and instead of being preserved, your life being preserved like Jacob's was, you know you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. You continue to believe the lie that man came from just spit. And I can't even believe that. Let's just say snot. Because that's what they think, some kind of jelly substance. And if you believe that that thing, and again, even this, you can't prove out billions of years. You can date all the rocks you want to. But it all goes back to the man that set up the scale. I'd rather just believe God. When he gave us a record. Listen, it takes a lot more faith to believe I came from snot than God created me. But it takes a lot more faith for me to set up a memorial to a bunch of men that try to prove out. I'm just going to tell you, every day that I read some kind of brand new breakthrough that they think something, you know, a cell. They were really proud of this. I read a long magazine article about how they were proving evolution true. And how they had this one cell replicate itself, and then they got it to change to this other thing, and it wasn't anything different. It was just a mutated same kind of cell, and they got to replicate in that cell, and that somehow that proved out evolution. You do realize that evolution has to jump to something else to be true. That means a monkey has to be a man because they ain't the same thing. All right? That means it's got to jump from snot to a frog, or at least a tadpole before it becomes a frog. Come on. You say, preacher, we already believe this. I know, I'm just trying to help you. Because the crowd that out there is still battling with you is the same crowd. And the problem is God's people have come to a place, instead of realizing how stupid that is, we have come to the place where we set up those same memorials in our life and we want to send our kids to those universities. We want to think their accreditation is something our kids need. We want to hold that up like, well, they can't make a good living if they don't go to a state college. Hog wash and applesauce. I believe Elon Musk has made a pretty good living. And he went to some of those places, but he don't hold all their degrees. He really isn't anybody that you would think, man, you look at his resume of all his degrees, you'd say, man, this guy's the smartest guy on planet Earth. No, that's not what he's got. He's just somebody that went to work. And instead of just having an idea or listening to his all the theories, he went out and built something. Do you know every person that's ever been truly successful on planet Earth is not somebody that goes to Washington and becomes a lifetime politician? It's not somebody that rides the coattails of somebody else along the way. It's somebody that went out and just gritted something out and built something in this life. And everybody stands back and says, I wasn't sure it could be done, but they did it. Do you know Jacob is somebody? I mean, God's been promising Abraham for such a long time that every place that his soul touched, he was going to blow this family up and it was going to look like something. But Abraham had to have a miracle son. And if you don't see the blessing, this is, we've lost in America. We think, you know, we all have to have that 2.5 children. Now, I don't know who ends up with all the half kids, but I didn't get one. All right, so, but I mean, somewhere out there, there's all these, that's the statistic, right? But you know, we used to believe somebody, a man that had his quiver full was blessed. Instead of having all these people to pay for weddings and how we were just, oh man, we're behind the eight ball because we can't have fun. We've got to raise kids. You know that God told us to be fruitful and multiply. God told us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He didn't say have your 2.5 kids and retire early. That's not God's plan. That's not popular to hear. But what we've done is we've sold and bought into the memorials of the world and we've jumped ship on God and his plan. So what we need to get back, how do we get back to God? How do we get back? What did Jacob do? Jacob wasn't always somebody who was a Bible believer, lived for God. His mom and daddy was. Abraham had a son, a miracle son, and that son had two kids. Twin boys. And if you want to say, you say, well, how did God react to that? Well, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. God invested in one of these children that wrestled with him. He didn't right off the bat just decide to give in and love mom and daddy's religion. He went out there and watched Isaac believe in God. He watched God act in Isaac's life and protect him. He watched Isaac over and over again do different things and see the blessings of God in his daddy's life. And listen, I'm telling you, he may not have always been sold on daddy's religion, but he was surely wanting daddy's blessing and the blessing of daddy's God. And he wrestled with that and followed through that. And he had dad, he even cheated to get that blessing so that he could be blessed. Because he knew there was something different. He knew his daddy was a miracle child from God. But then one time, you know, they're always, we just had graduation. Do you know a lot of them are going out into their places, but you know all of them are wrestling right now whether they're going to be, they are going to be an independent, not mom and dad making me go to church. Right now they're making their decision whether they're wrestling with the fact whether God is going to be their God. They're wrestling with the fact whether they're going to stand like Jacob and let God be in their family. God's going to be the one that rules in their lives. I seen him rule in daddy's life, but I'm wrestling with the fact whether he's going to rule in mine. Jacob goes down and he thinks the first thing he needs, mom and dad send him to get a wife. He's got the blessing of his dad. They've let that thing go and he goes down to get him a wife and he's going to return home and he comes back with two wives. I'm not sure that was a blessing. But he got the one he went down there for and one that he didn't really bargain for. But God blesses. And out of this union, 12 children come. He blesses and grows. And we see now Jacob as he returns home. He was sent away and he comes back with the blessings of God. All these cattle, all this family, all these servants, and he's returning home. And he, just like every one of us, when you're still troubled about something, I'm going home and I've got to make a decision. God spoke to him on the way down and told him he'd be his God. He set up a memorial to that, but he wasn't still convinced. But on the way home, God says, tonight's the night. Do you know today may be the day for you? Where God gets a hold of you and he is going to wrestle with you through the night. He's going to wrestle with you and he's going to have it out. We're going to have it out. Listen, God showed up in his life and he said, listen, before you get back here to the land of your fathers, I've blessed you. I want to use you. I'm going to do it, but we're going to have it out right here. This is the night. You know, everybody has that day where they feel like if I don't get saved today, I'm not sure I can get saved. If I don't accept, I've wrestled with this long enough, I've got to have it or I don't. I've got to go the other direction. And Jacob gets in a wrestling match with God, and they have it out. And even in this wrestling match, I'm just going to tell you, he still didn't make a decision. So God had it. He reached down and touched his thigh. Now, the Bible, according to the scripture, it says that he touches the hollow of his thigh and puts his hip out of joint. All right, now, I've had that happen to me before. It ain't easy to walk like that. It ain't easy to stand like that. It ain't easy. It ain't easy to be in any position like that. But he decided he wasn't going to let go. And he says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Now, this is something that's unique to me and many of you that already know the Bible. Hosea gives us a different picture than Genesis. And God tells who Jacob is and says that when Jacob is with us, he holds on. He's got power. Listen, he's got faithful power to hang on. And then it says that he wept. I want you to look at it with me. It says in verse 3, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. I want you to see that he holds on to God. He's not willing to let him go. And he's not willing to let him go until he blesses him. He hangs on even though it hurts. And something we don't see back in Genesis 32 is that when he's asking for the blessing, even though it seems like he's the one that's winning, even though it seems like the Bible uses the term here that he wept and made supplication. Supplication is a term of prayer or asking something from God when you humble yourself. When you've brought yourself low and you say, I don't have any way of doing this for myself, I'm not going to let you go until you do this for me because this needs to be done. I can only imagine being there that night, and I can imagine I've been to the place where my hip was out of joint, and again, because I'm a man, I didn't want to cry, but I've tried to find every position that I could get in. But imagine having your hip put out of joint and then trying to hang on in a wrestling match, trying to still fight the battle and to have faith to hold on to God and say, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, I just want you to understand, you young people that you just graduated and you're going to go out and you're going to do something. Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're in a wrestling match. And if you deliberate too long, God is liable to have to touch your life. And it may be something you live with for the rest of your life. If you don't just decide. But I'll tell you this, if you do go that far and God does have to touch you physically and change something in your life, don't reject God or run away. Humbly weep and beg God and come home. Be blessed of him in his house. Going outside of this place and thinking you're going to be blessed is ludicrous. Make God your memorial. I see he has the power of faith to hang on. I see he has the power of prayer and then the power of salvation. He changes his name. He says, listen, this blessing that God gives him is you're not Jacob anymore. You're not the old man you used to be. Now I'm going to call you Israel. Amen. All the blessings I promised Abraham and Isaac is going to be on Israel. And you're not going to be the same man you used to be, that old liar and cheat that you used to be. I want you to be a new man in Christ Jesus because of this altercation. And listen, he changes. He has a power of a new walk. Listen, you may think that old walk was something that just was, you know, that was hurting him. But I remember, I was around in the 80s, right? I mean, I remember guys that used to do that. Right? You can make it look like it hurts, or you can make it look like you got some spirit about you, right? Hey, I just want you to know that God, when God touches you, you walk different than you used to. The places you carry yourself are different. Israel, man, he comes to God and hangs on long enough for God to do a work in his life. And even here, I want you to see with this, in the end of the verse, and maybe you missed it, but he says, he found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Listen, you know, even the many times when we talk about wrestling with God, do you know that there was a young man called the prodigal son that went down and he was in the hog pen one day, and he was wrestling with things right there in the hog pen. Am I going to give myself wholly to this and eat what the hogs eat? That's what he was wanting to, but then the Bible says he came to himself. I think it's where he really found himself, or who he could be if he went back to the Father's house. You know, I've rejected being the son that he raised me to be, but I could go home and be a servant. That's what he started thinking. Do you know God wants to restore and help? But even Hosea gives the nation of Israel, and even though we're not the nation of Israel today, he gives them a 3-point plan on how to come home, how to get right. And we can take it as our admonition. He says in verse 6, therefore, turn thou to thy